Amen. Thanks for the count. Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians in chapter number 5 as we continue in our series this morning, Two Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And in your bulletin this morning is a companion outline for our time together in God's Word. So if you'd grab that and then turn into your New Testament to Ephesians chapter number 5. Let me mention, and Brother Tobin just caught me, Mike and Nicole, a newer couple to our class, and Nicole's father was taken to the hospital earlier this week in Las Vegas, and then today to ICU, and is not doing well. And just be in thought and prayer for, in your father's name, Nicole is, what is it? Paul. And be in prayer for Nicole's father, Paul Lloyd, in ICU in Las Vegas and not doing well. And, you know, when God adds to our family in a class and in a church, the purpose of that is for us to encourage and minister one to another. And when things like this happen, we want to all share in that and be in prayer one for another. And so, if you would, think of that, Paul Lloyd, Nicole's father in ICU there in Las Vegas. We've taken some extra time this morning by way of preliminary to kind of get our class ready for Love Works. And if you've already heard the presentation or you're about to hear at 11, you'll understand what our church family is trying to do and how our class specifically will be involved in that through the parking rides, the Metrolink, and the campus of one of our extension chapels. Honestly, it's going to be a great time. And for our class, I'm envisioning it to be a great time that we get to co-labor together. We're going to make memories. We're going to meet nice people. We're going to meet interesting people. We're going to make memories. We're going to, you know, do fun stuff. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to serving with you. And hope and pray you'll look through that insert and say, okay, where can we get involved? How can our family participate, or me individually, and do as much as you can that week? And we're going to have a great time serving the Lord. It gives us a little less time for our lesson this morning, but I trust we can cover some things that will be helpful in the time that we have. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Isn't this a great topic to cover on Love Work Sunday? And just, you know, submit and headship and all that. This goes perfectly with Love Works. And anyway, you'll get that later. But Ephesians chapter 5 here, and we're going to talk this morning about how to reverence and appreciating His desire to protect and provide. Now, we took 5 or 6 weeks, we laid the groundwork. What does it mean to love? What does it mean to reverence? Ephesians 5:33. Then we started talking specifically how to love and how to reverence. Men, we were challenged week one of that practical portion of this series to be close. She desires for us to be close to her. So how can we be closer to our spouse? Then ladies, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how to appreciate His desire to work and achieve. Adam was given the duty of keeping the garden before Eve was ever created. It's part of his identity. It's in his DNA. We talked about that. If you missed it, you can catch it online. Then last week, we talked about men. What do our wives need? Us to be open, to be intimately transparent with them in all facets and areas of life. And how can we strive for that level of openness? We talked about that last week. Then this morning, we go back to how to reverence a thought for the wives this morning by appreciating His desire to protect and provide. And another desire that God built into the heart of man is a desire to protect and provide for his wife and his family. It's in his DNA. It's the way he's wired, even coming down to giving his life. It's just something that a man holds dear to him, the opportunity and privilege to provide for his family. Billions of dollars are spent on premiums every year in the United States of America on life insurance, mostly by men. Why? Because there's a mindset, or there's a feeling of responsibility that both with my life and thereafter, I want to make sure that my family is cared for and provided for. And so a God-given desire that He has given him, and then how, ladies, can He be reverenced in this area and appreciated to provide and to protect? Well, let's look this morning quickly as we work this, number one, at the meaning. The meaning, and by this I mean the meaning of this desire in his heart. What does it mean? that he has a desire to provide and to protect for his family. Well, we read in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, these verses and these words take a lot of battering in modern culture and society about how demeaning they are to women and so on. And I hope to change that, if that's your mindset, in the few minutes that I have this morning to develop these thoughts. But the Greek word, and you have this in your notes, translated submit, is a compound word that means to rank under or place under. So God is explaining in the relationship of marriage that the wife is to rank under or to place under the husband. Now, God is not giving the husbands a carte blanche label of superior in every area. I think most of us as husbands this morning would say, hey, when I say my name is and this is my better half, that's just not a cue to introduce my wife. That's the way I feel. I married over my head. This is my better half. She's an amazing person. I think most husbands in this room would identify with those feelings and sentiments. It's not a we're superior in every area. It's that God has an order. And God's order is, husband, you're to lead. Husband, you're to be the head of your wife. Husband, you're to be the head of your home. You're the gatekeeper. You're responsible. You're going to give the answer to God for it. This is God's design. This is God's plan. And God has an order for everything. God tells parents to be over the children, and the children to be in subjection to their parents, to be obedient and to be honoring to them in Ephesians chapter number 6. And here in this passage that we're studying in Ephesians 5, God challenges the husbands to lead. That indeed is God's plan. And wives, if you bristle at that a little bit, well, I don't know about that order or that command, stop and think about his picture of it. He says in 22, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. How? What is his word picture? What is he patterning after? Watch this in verse 23. Even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. So, wives, before you become in contention with God over the fact that he placed your husband in headship in your home, stop and think about the standard he set for your husband. You're to lead your home as Christ led the church. Well, how did Christ earn leadership of the church? He died. He gave his life. He gave everything for it. So God said, just as my son willingly gave his life for the headship of the church, men, I'm calling on you to willingly give your life and headship for your home. To die to yourself, to die to your needs, to die to all those things, and to valiantly serve your spouse and kids. This is the commission I'm giving you as husband. So, wives, be careful to contend with that, because that's a high standard that God has set for your husband. And listen to me very carefully. If you don't like the fact that God wants him to lead, at Judgment Day, there's not going to be anything you can do about it. Well, I don't think he should lead, and I'm not going to let him. At Judgment Day, God's not looking at you. God's looking at him. Because quite frankly, God doesn't care what you think. This is the way that God designed it. This is God's order, and this is the way it will be. Like it or not, he will give an account for your home. It's the same thing in the church. You know who's going to give an account for this church? Paul Chapel. That's the way it is. I'm not. Now, I have the privilege to serve him. I have the privilege to help. I have the privilege to be a part. You have the privilege to be a part of the church family, and we want to see this thing go forward. But I'm not going to stand and give an account for all that happens at Lancaster Baptist Church. That's not my responsibility, but I will for my home. Do you understand? So God has an order. God has headship. God has people in authority, and it is according to God's plan. So because God has it this way, he's instructing then wives, recognize it, submit to it, help, support your husband in this role. That's a great responsibility. Look at your notes in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, as Paul clearly points out the responsibility. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So here he says, listen, just as Christ is leading the church to be spotless before the Lord, husband, you're to lead your family before the Lord, and the responsibilities of being the head or being the leader are clearly spelled out here. Now, wives, understand this is an awesome responsibility that God gives your husband. It is a God-given responsibility and position. And any goodwill husband in this room who understands this passage, I don't think leaves this room going, yeah, did you hear him this morning? Yeah, boy, look. No. I think any goodwill husband hears that passage and goes, man, pray for me. That's a lofty standard. That's a weighty responsibility. That's a lot on my shoulders. Pray for me and help me as I strive to please the Lord. And it is a weight indeed that a man carries. And so this is the meaning of what God is talking about here and His desire to protect and provide. So let's look quickly at number two, the misunderstanding. Now this idea of headship and leadership and protection and provision and all of these things is greatly misunderstood and really comes into conflict with our culture today concerning what we believe to be right or what we think is best and concerning God's will and way. Now, what Paul lays out here in Ephesians chapter 5 is for the ideal marriage relationship according to God's design, as we're learning here in this series and in this class. And as the wife is subject to her husband, identifying the fact that God did give him headship and leadership in the home, and then desiring to be under his protection and provision, and the husband loving the wife, giving himself for her, dying for his family, putting aside his own needs and desires, and meeting those of his family, that's what God has designed. And the Christian wife doesn't balk at the biblical teaching of all of this in Ephesians 5, but at times can be hesitant about the extremes to which the husband might take it. So if I submit and I follow his headship and I support his leadership and all of that, then am I just going to become a doormat? Is he just going to take advantage of me? What is going to happen? And this is where the harmony of the husband fulfilling his role and the wife fulfilling her role complement each other in a great way. Where do a lot of these apprehensions come from? Our culture today. You think of maybe media, television, movies, whatever. You think of maybe friends or neighbors or acquaintances or coworkers, maybe family members. There might be a lot of pressure in your life that would say, whatever you do, don't do that. That won't work. That style of home just doesn't work anymore. Now, there are things you have to work through. In some cases, it might take both mom and dad to work to pay the bills. In some cases, the wife might make more than the husband. And she may use that as leverage to feel like, hey, I'm not feeling equal enough. We need to kind of revamp our leadership structure. And I just want to pull back from whatever pressures or circumstances there may be in your life, in your home, or whatever, and just say, listen, God loves you, and God wants your home to succeed, and God has a plan. And the plan is that the husband is to lead. The husband is to be the head of the wife. The wife is to rank under the husband. The wife is to support the headship and leadership that God has given him. This is not something he asked for. This is something God is telling him to do. And all I'm telling you, if you want to be a reverencing wife that's being obedient to the Lord and being a great helpmate, then recognize this. This is something God's telling him to do. He has to do it. He's going to give an answer for it someday. So support him, help him, cheer him on. Understand the responsibility that he's carrying and be careful in your development of this in your home to let culture have a greater weight than God's own word. The problem that some women have today, even Christian wives, is that they want to be treated like a princess in their home and by their husband, but deep down they are hesitant to treat their husband like the king. Fearful that if I treat him like a king, he might start acting like one. And he might think he's in charge of everything. And I don't know that I want to do that. And there's some hesitancy. There's some apprehension potentially there. And ladies, I want to give you a thought. Never forget that kings take the best care of people who treat them like kings. This position that God has given your husband is not something he asked for. It's a weighty position of responsibility, but it is one God gave him. And it is one that he articulates here in the scriptures. And I believe for the purpose of both the husband and wife understanding what it is that's happening. And there is a desire that God has given your husband to protect, to provide, to lead, to care for, to provide that headship, being the gatekeeper, if you will, for your home. And when you understand that this is the way that God has designed it, this is the responsibility that God has given him, and this is a desire that God has given him in his heart, then you want to support it and you want to be careful in your verbiage about it. Men are very sensitive to your opinion about their ability to lead, protect, and provide. Well, if we had to make it on his paycheck alone, I don't know where we would be. Wrong comment. Now, it may be tight at home. There may be some adjustments. There's some men in our class right now we're praying for fervently to find a job. And I know that's a burden you carry. But I just want to encourage you, be careful. Be careful in this area to understand this is a weighty responsibility given to him by God. It's a burden he carries. It's something he's familiar with all the time. And if it's something he doesn't understand or something that you don't understand or something that you're being critical of, be careful in this area where it could have a very negative effect on him. Be careful in your mind as you are engaging with him about this. Is it respectful or disrespectful? The Bible says in Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Sometimes, ladies, it's just don't say anything, but make sure you're being careful with this. So there can be a grave misunderstanding concerning this area of his desire to protect and provide and honor the Lord in this way. And then lastly, as our time expires, let's look at the mission. And ladies, here's what I want to give you. I want to give you a mission when it comes concerning the fact of reverencing and appreciating his desire to protect and provide, to minister to him in this area for this God-given need that God has given him. Now, there's lots of ways you can show your husband reverence. There's lots of ways that you can show him respect. There's a lot of things that you can do for him. But specifically in this area, there needs to be attention given to providing this reverence and his desire to protect and provide to lead your home. Okay? Let me give an illustration. There was a pastor who lost his wife to cancer. And at the funeral, he was telling a story that reflected on her life, the way that she lived it, and who she was as a person. And he began to tell the audience there at her homegoing service, he said, "I remember when we were much younger and I was struggling as a young preacher. We had trouble earning our living." He said he came home one night and he opened the door to a home that had no lights on. And he appeared across the living room, and there on the dining room table was some beautiful candles lit and a nice setting for a dinner. And he thought, wow, what a special treat, a candle lit meal. He said hi to his wife quickly and made his way to the restroom to wash his hands and freshen up, and he went to flip the switch and no lights came on. Thought that was weird, maybe the light bulb out or something, and so he washed his hands best he could in the dark, and he made his way to his room to maybe take off his coat and prepare for a meal, and he went to flip the switch on there and no lights would come on. And he soon discovered that there was no lights on in the entire house, that obviously the electricity had been turned off. He came into the kitchen where his wife was, and he said, "Honey, what happened to the lights?" And she began to cry. And she said, "Honey, I know you're doing everything you can to provide for us." And she helped with some of the bill paying and so forth. And she said, "We didn't have enough to pay the light bill this month. But I didn't want to tell you, and I didn't want to trouble you, and I didn't want you to worry about it. So I thought we could just eat dinner tonight by candlelight." And that husband began to tell about how his wife just cheered him on in every stage of their relationship, and through the mountains and the valleys was there by his side. And I think as we see that and we think about your mission to reverence his desire to provide and protect, hey, it's not all going to be mountaintops, but even in the valleys and even in the tough times, be careful to understand the desire he has is given by God. The responsibility he has is given by God. God said, "You are the head of your wife. This is your responsibility." Understand that and help him in that endeavor. It's kind of like when it's rough weather, maybe raining or something. We don't have a lot of that in the desert, I know. So maybe not a lot of you own an umbrella. But when you're in weather like that and you have an umbrella and you go out, you're using that umbrella to provide protection for you from the adverse weather, right? And the weather, the umbrella there is to provide protection so that you don't have to contend or negotiate with all that adverse weather. And ladies, what God is asking your husband to do is be your umbrella. He's asking your husband to lead and to take on the adversity that there may be and lead your family and protect you along the way. That's what God's asking your husband to do. And we live in a culture today with a feminist movement that says, bless God, we don't need an umbrella. We can be our own. Now, I don't understand for the life of me why a lady wants to be the umbrella. If you have someone who's willing to take that adversity for you, just thank God for it. And don't contend for it, or I want to be my own and prove that I can do it. God has an order. God has a way. It's perfect. It always has worked, and it will continue to always work. Just thank God for what He is and what God has given you. And the next time that He provides that umbrella of provision or protection or leadership in your home, instead of fighting it or resisting it or I could do better or my umbrella is better than yours or whatever, just get underneath it and say, thank you. This is great. Because at the end of the day, he's going to have to answer to God for what kind of umbrella he provides anyway. So the more time you spend trying to compete with them about whose umbrella is better, I don't care how good your umbrella is, you're not going to give an account for it. He is. So help him make his great and thank him for it. And don't resist the protection he's trying to provide because it's what God has given him. Men are most vulnerable to criticism in this area alone when it comes to their headship, their leadership, their protection, and their provision. So ladies, understand, you have a mission to reverence this area that God has given him a desire and has given him a responsibility. At the end of the notes today, I've given you a couple of practical ideas, but I just want to encourage you ladies, when you read verses like submit and he's the head and all that kind of stuff, don't look at it the way culture wants us to view it through that lens. Look at it as, hey, God who loved us, who gave his son for us, who designed us, made it this way. And this is the responsibility my husband has. He didn't even ask for it, but it's what he has and it's what he'll give an answer for. And so God, help me to love him. Help me to reverence and respect him in this area and help me to cheer him on. And as he provides an umbrella of protection for us, I don't want to compete or tell him how bad it is. I just want to support him and get through it. And I think if we'll do that and maybe have the spirit of that pastor's wife in those early years, that God will bless our home. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time in your word today. God, I pray that you would strengthen our class, our marriages, our relationships, and our families. Help us this week to implement some of these truths that we've learned. And then also, as we look ahead to Love Works, to participate in making of impact in our community. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.